Hi, this is Rini Premeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, telling you to stay tuned to WNJC 1360 AM for Thursday in the Doghouse, coming right up.
Mama was a mutt, Daddy was one too. Me, I'm a little bit of everything, everything that I use.
Good morning, listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of Thursday in the Doghouse. I'm your host, Karen Fazio, the dog super nanny. My co-host, Rini Premeza, she's currently recuperating from surgery, and as soon as she's feeling up to it, she'll be rejoining us. Thursday in the Doghouse airs every Thursday morning from 10 to 10:30 right here on WNJC 1360 AM. Our program generally focuses on issues concerning companion dogs. We've talked to veterinarians about canine health issues. We've discussed their behavior problems with noted veterinary behaviors such as Dr. Ian Dunbar and Dr. Nicholas Dodman and Victoria Stilwell. We've been fortunate to talk to several distinguished authors who've written wonderful books and articles to help all of us understand why dogs do the things they do. But today we have a surprise. Our topic today is going to be include cats, kitties. Our guest is Marilyn Krieger. Am I correct with that pronunciation,
That's
Marilyn?
That's correct,
She's a certified cat behavior consultant, better known as the Cat Coach. Marilyn is an internationally recognized cat behavior specialist, offering both on-site and telephone consultation sessions throughout the entire world. Marilyn works directly with clients as well as through veterinary referrals. Her intelligent, capable advice solves diverse behavior problems for all breeds of cats. Marilyn writes, she also writes a monthly column for Cat Fancy magazine and its website, catchannel.com. Recently, one of her articles that she has written for Kittens USA was the recipient of the 2010 Cat Writers Association Purina Cat Chow Award. We're going to be speaking with Marilyn in just a moment about the proper way to introduce a new dog or puppy into a household where there are already one or more resident cats. We're going to be talking about her clicker training techniques, her background. But, you know, right now I just want to kind of reach out to the Hurricane Sandy victims and those who may be suffering from last night's nor'easter. I want to let you know that, you know, everybody here, our hearts go out to you, and we're standing with you, and I want to praise Governor Chris Christie for doing such a wonderful job of organizing things and getting some of the power back on and setting up shelters and working with the Red Cross. I mean, he's done an amazing job. But for those of you who may not, you know, who are out there and are still suffering, I have some phone numbers for you that if you need to call, you know, feel free to do so. If you need urgent help, you need urgent medical help, or there's a crisis, dial 911. If for non-immediate health matters, dial 211. Or you can visit www.nj211.org for help with any non-emergency issues. If you need to file a claim with FEMA, the FEMA assistance hotline is 800-621-FEMA. That's 800-621-FEMA. And, you know, if you are suffering, again, you know, our hearts go out to you. Please speak with your local officials about where you can get help. The Red Cross has set up dozens of shelters and is giving out food and water and shelter. So, you know, contact your local government officials and find out where to go. Or, again, you could dial the 211 and they should direct you where you want to go. Welcome to the show, Marilyn. I am so excited to talk to you because besides being a dog trainer and a behavior consultant for canines, I am a cat enthusiast. I love kitties. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your background?
Okay. Well, as you said before, I'm a certified cat behavior consultant. I also am the author of a book called Naughty No More. And this is a book which helps people solve their cat behavior problems, but one of the tools that I use is clicker training.
Mm-hmm.
I have many tools, and that's one of them.
Right.
So just a little bit about it. Let me see. I am certified through the International Association of Animal Behavior Consultants, and I am always taking classes and increasing my knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're located in California, right?
I am. I'm in California, but I have clients all over the place.
So if somebody needs help from you and they live on the East Coast or they live in, you know, in the middle of the country, because, you know, this interview is going to be online, so people from all over the world could listen to it. If somebody needs to get in touch with you, I mean, do you have a website or a phone number or something that visitors can go and get in touch with you?
I do, and my website is thecapcoach.com. Very simple, thecapcoach.com. Or you can email me at marilyn@thecapcoach.com.
And that's Marilyn?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Terrific.
Great. Thank you.
I know we were actually, before the show started, Marilyn and I were chatting on the line, and we're going to be talking about how to introduce a dog to a house with cats. You know, and I'd like to maybe talk about how to introduce a cat to a house with dogs. I mean, I think that it could kind of go both ways. What do you suggest that audience members do if they already have a cat or they want to kind of combine the two species into their home? What would be the tips that you can offer them to make it easy?
Yes. Well, the very first thing that's very important is to make sure that the dog doesn't chase cats. The dog needs to be very well trained to sit and to leave it and not chase cats, because as you know, dogs are pretty deadly around cats.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the number one thing before even bringing a cat in or bringing a new dog in where you already have a cat.
Mm-hmm.
Make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the first thing. Now, also, when introducing dogs to cats or cats to dogs, you want to make sure you do it very slowly, very gradually. You don't just say, oh, here's your new friend. Okay? It can take quite a while, and the amount of time it takes is dependent on how the cats are doing with the scent of the dog and how the dog is doing, how the dog is behaved.
So what would be some of the things that you would do to make that a slow transition?
Yeah, the first thing you do is make sure you have a confinement or sanctuary room, like the new cat.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a room where the dog won't be allowed, but you bring the cat in and the cat gets used to that room. That's the first thing that you do. You also want to make sure that the home is set up properly. You have plenty of areas that the cat will be able to escape to. High areas like cat trees, very high areas that the dog can't get to. Also, baby gates are going to be important too down the road. And there are some baby gates that have little doors in them, pet doors the cat can go through. Unless you have a tiny dog, then the dog can't go through. Of course, if you have a small dog, then it's not going to matter.
Mm-hmm.
So, because then the dog can go through too. But if you have a large dog, have a baby gate.
Yeah, I went through this, and I have to say, I probably would have done much better had I visited thecatcoach.com and gotten some kit tips, but I actually, you know, when I got smart, I bought a gate that's made out of metal,
mm-hmm.
And it's actually wall-mounted, and it's wonderful because I could go in and out, the cats could go underneath it, and they could hop over, but the dogs can't get in, because I have very large dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everybody lives very, very nicely together. What are some of the other tips? I mean, would you put the cat in a carrier or maybe bring out a blanket or something like that?
No, what you do, so the cat is used to his new home, and then what you want to do is take a towel and pet the dog with the towel.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also take another towel and pet the cat with the towel. And then you're going to place the dog's towel in the cat's area,
mm-hmm.
so that the cat can get used to the dog smell. Now, you can use clicker training to help as well, both with the dog and the cat. You don't have to, but sometimes it kind of hurries things along, and it helps quite a bit.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm.
For those who are not familiar with clicker training, and most people are at this point, but I'd like for you to kind of maybe explain what clicker training is and how you use it with cats, especially in this kind of situation where you're, you know, introducing two different species. Maybe, you know, they have never come across each other. I mean, you know, there's a lot of variables that would go, you know, you would have to consider when you're introducing a cat to a dog. But how would you use clicker training?
Well, first of all, just to answer the first question for some of the listeners who don't know what clicker training is, clicker training is a fabulous technique. It's a force-free method that you can use to train animals, and it works with all species. It's based on operant conditioning and classical conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, you need two things. You need something that the cat really loves, what's called a primary reinforcer, and that would be perhaps a treat, okay, a tiny little treat, small pieces. And the cat loves that, loves the treat. You also need what's called a secondary reinforcer, a secondary conditioner. And this is a device that always does the same thing whenever it is activated. I use the iClick clicker, and that's Karen Pryor's clicker.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice because when you, it's like a button clicker, and when you depress it, it makes a click immediately, and it's pretty soft. So the way we use this, or why we're using this for cats, and really for all animals, is that clicker training not only does it teach an animal how to do something, but it also marks a behavior. So in other words, it's a communication device. So after the clicker is paired with the treat, so that when the animal hears the click, they know they've done something correct. So when the animal, the cat, is doing a behavior like sitting or scratching the right furniture or something like that, you click. So the cat knows, and then the cat gets a treat. So the cat knows that what they're doing is exactly the correct behavior, and then they will repeat it. Because the consequence of that behavior is that they're going to be getting a treat. So then they will repeat the behavior. So it's a fabulous training tool. But it does more than that. And I know we're not really talking about this, but it helps build confidence in cats.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun thing. And the cat, you see, because it's about choice, so the cat can come towards you or can leave. So in other words, if the cat doesn't want to do this, they can leave. But that will help build up the behavior because the cat, again, has the choice. It helps them feel more secure and confident.
Mm-hmm.
Also, when clicker training a cat, you want the cat to look up at you in your eyes. And again, all this is going to help with the kitties. It's great for socializing and all sorts of things. I don't know if that truly explained it, but...
Well, why would you want to make eye contact with the cat?
Well, this is especially important for shy cats because when they look up at you, they are connecting more with you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes, as we know, eye contact with animals can feel threatening, threatening, but in this case, with clicker training, it isn't. It actually encourages a relationship. And then the cat relates to you and knows that you are giving them the treat. So it starts and builds the relationship through that eye contact.
Now, could you do this with toys, too? Say, like, you have a cat that's not really crazy about treats, but it goes nuts over a, you know, like a little flirt pole thing. I mean, or a motorized mouse or something like that. I mean, is it possible that you could use toys, too?
Well, I don't because I don't think that's the best thing to use. You can use affection, though, if you have a cat that enjoys being petted. The problem with play is that in itself becomes, there's adrenaline that's released. And so then it doesn't really reinforce, it may not truly reinforce the behavior that's being done.
Okay.
So I try not to use... play as a primary reinforcer. I always want people to play with their cats, but in different circumstances.
Where would you recommend that people go to get clickers? Is that something that you could get at your local pet store?
No, you know, Karen Pryor, clickertraining.com, www.clickertraining.com, and go to her products page. She has iClickers there. You can buy them in bulk or one or two at a time.
Marilyn, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back in about a minute. For those of you who want to, you know, stay by the radio, but maybe go online and visit, you know, Marilyn Krieger's website, you could do so by going to thecatcoach.com. We're going to return in a minute or less. And right now, my co-host, Rini Permeza, would like to share some of the services that she offers as a certified behavior consultant in the South Jersey area and its surrounding locations.
1360 AM.
Hi, everybody. This is Rini Primeza, your friendly neighborhood dog trainer. I've been training dogs professionally in South Jersey for close to 12 years. I assisted my own dog's trainer in her obedience classes for 2 years while studying the laws of learning and behavior modification at an online college. I then became certified as a behavior consultant in 2004 by the International Association of Animal Behavior Consultants. So whether you need a trainer to help you teach your dog his basic obedience behaviors, or you need help because your dog has developed serious behavior problems, I'd be very happy to come and visit with you at your home and assist you in resolving these issues. So give me a call at 609-280-9338 or contact me through my website at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. My number is 609-280-9338, or go to my website and email me directly there, jerseydogtrainer.com.
WNJC.
Welcome back to Thursday in the Doghouse. Right now we're speaking with Marilyn Krieger. She is a certified cat behaviorist, a behavior consultant, and she is located at thecatcoach.com. So if you go to her website, you'll find all kinds of interesting information about cats and dog introductions and cat behavior and so on and so forth. Earlier, before we took our break, Marilyn was talking to us about clicker training and the proper way to introduce a dog to a cat and vice versa. And now we're going to get a little bit more, I'd like for you to get a little bit more into the clicker training, Marilyn. We were talking on the break about how you can use clicker training for that actual introduction and that whole process. Do you want to explain a little bit about that?
Certainly. Well, the first thing that you want to do is pair the clicker with the treat so that every time the cat hears the sound of the clicker, she will have a positive association with whatever she's doing, and it becomes, again, a marker, a communication tool. So it's very simple to do. The treats are tiny. All you do is you click once, and then you treat. You wait for the cat to look back up at you, and then you click and treat again. You want a strong association, so every time the cat hears the clicker, it communicates something to the cat, which is positive. So after you have paired the clicker with the treat, and now you have a towel that has the dog scent on it, when the cat goes over it to check it out, as long as there is no sign of agitation or stress, you're going to click and then treat the cat.
Really quick.
Very
don't
quick.
I have a terrible habit of interrupting, but I think it's important here. How will you know if the cat's stressed? Like you said, there's signs.
Oh,
what,
yes.
Real brief, what would those signs be?
Right, good question. Well, if the cat's tail is agitated and going back and forth fast.
Okay.
If notice the cat's whiskers, if they're flat, if she's flattened it against her face, if her ears are down,
okay.
If she's growling or hissing, these are all signs of agitation.
Well, you know what, that thing about the whiskers, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Also, the way she approaches it. So, in other words, if you see a cat going very close to the ground and approaching it, that's a little bit fear. You want the cat to walk up to it, tail up in the air, not all bushed out, and then
mm-hmm.
sniffing it. And then you click and treat.
Awesome.
Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
What Marilyn was speaking about earlier, you know, when you click, you treat, you click, you treat. We call this charging the clicker. And the clicker now has meaning. But how would you use clicker training for that whole process, for that, like, introduction of the dog to the cat to the dog? I mean, that could be hairy. How would you make it easy?
Well, again, the first thing you do is make sure you're going to click while the cat is smelling mm-hmm. you know, the blanket. As far as the dog is concerned, it's extremely important that the dog knows how to sit and stay. And if you have pet the cat and put something that has the cat smell with the dog, and the dog is responding to it with you know, without aggression or seems fine, maybe wagging the tail, you can click and treat. So it becomes a positive thing, the smell of the cat, the smell of the dog. That's the first step. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So then, again, the dog really does need to know how to sit and stay. And maybe, too, here's a thought, too, if you crate the dog, later on, that will be part of the introduction. The dog is crated and the cat will be exploring the house. So after it seems, it may be a few days, and the dog and the cat seem okay with each other's smells,
mm-hmm.
and you have reinforced that through the clicker training.
Right.
The other thing, oh, by the way, the other thing, too, you can do, again, using clicker training, you can teach the cat to go to a certain area. You can teach the cat to sit. And I won't go through the process of this, but this can be very important because you can have a default place that the cat goes. That's
uh-huh.
a safety area, and it's up high. So when you are ready, when it looks like things are okay, a couple of things you can do. You can put the dog on a leash, okay, and have the dog sit, or you can crate the dog and then let the cat out into the room. You want to make sure that you have it's supervised, you know, that there are people there.
Right.
At the first sign of any problem, either with the cat or the dog, you need to separate them immediately. You're probably going too fast, you know,
okay.
and you need to
now
slow down.
When you say crate the dog, now what if you have a new cat and your dog's had run of the house now for the past, like, 6 years? I mean, would you still crate the dog, or would you now?
Well, I don't know. It depends on how the dog. I don't. You know, that's always individual circumstances. I go to
right.
some homes where the dog has been there forever, but the dog also has a crate that they sleep in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it depends on the individual situation. If you have a dog that has never been crated, then you don't crate the dog, but you want to make sure that that dog is controlled, that the dog
right.
is on a leash and sitting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now occasionally you have these tiny little dogs, and occasionally you do have cats that are a little more fractious towards the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, the clicker training, it's important you go more gradually. You want to make sure that dog is protected. So so that's something else you have to watch out too for,
mm-hmm.
but I don't encounter that often. It's usually the other way around with the
right.
dogs. Yeah.
So if say like you have like, all right, now I want to talk. So we're gonna crate the dog. What are we gonna do with the cat at that point? We're gonna let it roam around, and we're gonna click it and reward it when it passes the crate, or
well,
maybe make eye contact with the dog.
Yeah, that's a good question. Now if the dog is used to going into a crate, because I never want to put an animal in a situation they're not truly used to.
Sure.
They're not used to being crated. Right, you don't crate them. But if they're used to being crated and are comfortable being in the crate, you put them in the crate, and the cat can then wander around and check out the dog. Usually what they'll do is they'll sit on top of the crate. So that's the next thing that you do, and you check and see what the reactions, the responses of the dog is, the responses of the cat. You want to make sure, of course, that you have that vertical territory, those high cat trees and things
sure.
in place. Now, the next step would be letting the dog out again on, you know, under control with a
mm-hmm.
harness of some sort and a leash, and having the dog sit and the cat coming up. But you want to make sure that, you know, check that dog language, the
mm-hmm.
dog body language, I should say, the dog body language. Because it only takes one bite, you know, for
sure.
a dog to really, yeah, harm a cat. So you need to really monitor that.
And, you know, I could tell you from, you know, being a professional dog trainer that some of the signs that you would look for is tail up all the way over the back. You would look for freezing. If the dog freezes in place, you know, it seems like all of a sudden it turned into a statue, get that dog out of there immediately, because that dog is caught between fight and flight. And when it involves an animal like a cat that generally runs away from dogs, we're going to trigger that prey drive, and it's going to be a disaster. So, you know, keep an eye on your dog. I mean, most people know their dogs. They kind of know when they get nervous and upset. So just keep an eye on that, and you want to put an end to it right away, because I would imagine that, Marilyn, you would agree with me, that you always want to end these trainings on a positive note.
Absolutely.
You know, make sure that you don't push it too far. And all of us have that tendency to push it too far. We see that we're getting success and we're like, all right, let's go full Monty. But you can't. You got to kind of go slow. And the slower you go, the better off you are, because you'll have a whole lifetime of harmony. Whereas if you try to rush it, you're going to have a lifetime of chaos. I mean, would you not agree?
Oh, I think that's excellent advice. Absolutely. It's very small successive steps, and you're absolutely correct. It looks like it's going really well. End it there and do another session later during the day or or on another day. But don't push it. End it when it works well.
Right. So what other kind of advice can you offer us about cat and dog? You know, I wish I would have had you when I got my first kitten. We found him nearly frozen to death. His mother got hit by a car. She must have disappeared somehow, because mother cats are the best mothers in the world. And this kitten was about 5 weeks old. It was matted. It was full of fleas. And it was on the side of our house. And, you know, I have two dogs. I have a German Shepherd and an English Foxhound. And the English Foxhound loves every animal. It doesn't matter if it's running away from her. She just loves animals, and she's very polite and kind. My German Shepherd, on the other hand, is like a lunatic. You know, as soon as he sees something scurrying away, he's got to go chase it. And it was really a challenge for me. And, you know, I wish I had had this advice earlier on. I kind of made a lot of mistakes. But, you know, today, knowing the things that I do know, you know, and I decided to, you know, revamp my whole process and do it slow. And today, you know, my dog just loves his kitties, you know, and I have three cats now. And each one was easier. It gets easier to introduce new ones as time goes on. Now, I want to ask you a really quick question. Now, I know we're talking about dog cat introductions. What happens when you introduce a new cat to a house with a cat? And would you use the same process?
A new cat or a new dog?
Huh?
Introduce two cats together?
Yeah.
Well, that's very gradual, and that, you do what are called pheromone exchanges. I have four phases that I teach people to, as far as introducing them. It's very gradual, and it's, there's a whole chapter in my book on it.
Do you use Feloway? Do you ever use Feloway? That hormone, the, have you ever tried that?
I usually do not use it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not sure for introductions if it makes that
right.
big of a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I do pheromone exchanges. They have scent. Cats have scent glands on their cheeks, but I don't rub one scent on the other. I never do that. But I do put socks that have each of the cat's smells in their area, and then I use clicker training to reinforce when they're smelling the smell. And then it's a very gradual thing. And then after they're okay with each other's scents and they're confined away from each other, you have a door in between them, you then feed them on each side of that door. So in other words, you introduce positive, fun activities that they like one step at a time, very slowly, gradually.
You know, I just want to let our listeners know out there, so that they could call you, right? They can go to thecatcoach.com.
Sure.
And say they live in New Jersey. I know you live in California, but if they have a real problem, say they're listening to our show and they're not having any success with it, if they go to thecatcoach.com, do they actually get a chance to speak with you over the phone? Maybe you can help them out?
Oh, yes. I do phone, Skype, and on-site consultations.
Wow.
Yes. So they can email me for details, or they can phone me. My phone number is also on the site.
You could give it out if you'd like.
Sure, 650.
Okay.
780-9485.
Can you say it again?
650-780-9485.
Cool. Marilyn, I want to thank you so much for visiting us in the doghouse today. I learned a whole bunch of information. I'm sure our audience did, too. I want to wish you a really good rest of the week and have a wonderful weekend. Stay safe. Everybody in New Jersey, stay safe. Again, if you have a problem and you need assistance, you could go to 1-800-621-FEMA or you could dial 211 for general information if you're a Hurricane Sandy victim. Marilyn, I want to thank you again for joining us in the doghouse, and I hope that you can please come back.
Oh,
I would
love to
have you come back and talk about more subjects with us, because I know that many of our audience members have cats and dogs. And again, you can reach Marilyn by going to www.thecatcoach.com. Marilyn, thank you so much, and I will speak with you soon.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It was fun to talk with you.
Oh, it was wonderful. Have a good weekend.
Thanks so much.
Take care.
I'm glad you're home, but where you been? Since 2 o'clock, I've been holding it in. Grab the leash, let's go chop chop. If I don't get out soon, the court's gonna pop. Twist and shout.